Time is 7 o'clock then here on BBC Coventry and Warwickshire. Very good morning to you with the news. Here's Tom Cook.
A man from the Neaton says his life has been transformed since being diagnosed with dyslexia at the age of 44. The British Dyslexia Association says 10% of people are dyslexic, with 4% being severely affected. But that figure could be even higher, as many people don't know they have it. Kirk Pickstone from the Neaton says he lacked confidence prior to his diagnosis.
Up to the point of finding out I was dyslexic, I think it always made me feel a bit less worthy than everybody else. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people currently feel like that. So made me a bit less confident up to that point of finding out.
And there's more on this with Lorna after this bulletin.
Now, I have a little scenario for you. And it may well be that you don't necessarily need to imagine it. But if you do, play a little game with me. Imagine going through an enormous part of your working life holding senior management positions in a corporate world and then find out at the age of 44 that you're dyslexic. Well, that's exactly what happened to my next guest, Kirk Pickstone from Nuneaton. It's a condition which apparently affects over 10% of the population, but many people don't even know that they have it. Well, Kirk, I'm delighted to say, was one of those windscreen scrapers first thing this morning, sort of, and he's with us here in the studio. Kirk, thanks very much for getting up bright and early and being with us here on BBC Coventry in Warwickshire. How did your diagnosis come about?
My diagnosis came about because I'd ended up in a quite senior role within a global business, and I'd always worked for organisations where I motivated people and looked at facts and figures, and we looked at improvements, and a lot of my interactions were like PowerPoint presentations, things like that. I went from that to a business where I was doing a lot more report writing, and that's where a lot of older dyslexics it gets highlighted, because I was missing words out, I was using the wrong words like where instead of were and there instead of there. Some of my emails had chunks of words missing, and that's how it first came to light for me, really. And I was getting quite a lot of questions from the business: why are you doing this, and you know what do you mean in your emails, what do you mean by your reports? And yeah, there was a lot of pressure on me at the time why this was happening, and no matter how much I tried, I just simply couldn't get it right. Kept trying and trying to get it right, and just kept messing up. I'd read the text back and it was all there.
So had you had any inkling at all up until the point of age 44 that there was something?
My eldest son had been diagnosed as being dyslexic, but I just fleetingly thought, am I dyslexic? And I thought, no, I can't be, because look at the position I'm in, look where I am, and look what I've done. If I was dyslexic,
so did you hold some of those stereotypes that if you were dyslexic, you couldn't get achieve yourself? You held those.
Correct. Or I couldn't read, and I could read, and that's a big misconception that people think dyslexics can't read. And yes, so I did think, well, I can't be, because I'm intelligent, I'm doing this job, I'm inspiring people. So how can I be dyslexic? That's a nonsense. And then I went and got a friend of mine who is a teacher now but was a journalist, said, I think you're dyslexic. She was the person that identified it and told me to go and get checked out, and did.
So how did you react? How did you feel when you were told that you got this diagnosis?
It was very emotional. I burst into tears.
Did you?
Mm.
Why?
Because it explained why I felt like I did and why I'd done the things I'd done in my life.
So had you been questioning your self-esteem then?
Yeah, you always do. And I mean, I used to look at everybody up to, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing now, but I used to look at people and think, wow, they're intelligent. And I always, you know, was always a class clown, always tried to make people laugh. And that's like that's a classic, try to hide it, yeah?
Coping
you had become
mechanism.
A class clown, or people become violent and end up going down the wrong road. I used to think people were more intelligent than me, and always self, even now I have a lot of self-doubt and a lot of, you know, there's that little thing in your head telling you you're not as clever as anybody else, you're not as intelligent. And, it's about getting over that.
So you get this diagnosis, obviously it an incredibly emotional. I can just see it in your face when you're talking about it, how much emotion that brought about. How did you then go from the position that you were in to then going, right, that's it, I'm quitting my job, I'm going off and I'm going to go and do something else, and using that as something which clearly must have been a confidence booster?
It was. I mean, for me, the biggest thing for me was my wife, who believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And
they're good, these wives, aren't they?
They are, aren't they? Yeah. If you find a good one. So she believed me at that point. I thought I was virtually on the verge of a nervous breakdown. I couldn't carry on. I didn't want to work anymore. I didn't want to work. So my wife actually went and did something else to allow me to stop working. And then an opportunity came up to go to university, and I thought, why will they want me? I'm not going to go to university. Yet I had lots of business qualifications that I'd gained within my business, within my working life.
You must have vast experience.
Yeah. So I went and did a postgrad course. They told us, you're not graduating to do a postgrad. So I was like, why, what have we done wrong? Now you're all doing a master's degree. So in 2012, I graduated with a master's degree in global entrepreneurship.
And how have you used the diagnosis to motivate you and also now to help other people?
Well, the main thing is in 2010, I couldn't find any information within the business I was in. I knew people must be going through the same thing I'm going through, the misconceptions, because I had the misconceptions as well.
So you had them yourself, didn't you? Which is really interesting. Sitting from the other side of it, you're looking in and you formed your own stereotypes about people with dyslexia, not knowing you've got dyslexia yourself.
Exactly. So now I'm on this campaign to change the perception of dyslexia in the UK. So I do things like a podcast, a radio show of my own. I work with dyslexics and I do public speaking. So I do that to help other people to say, listen, you are... Dyslexics are uber intelligent. There's no link between intelligence and dyslexia. But because we live in a world where the written word is seen as being the be-all and end-all and it's used as a barometer for intelligence, if you don't conform to that or you're not good at that, then you're seen as being not as intelligent. And I think it's a crying shame because dyslexics are genuinely predisposed entrepreneurs. And that's what I want to encourage people to become entrepreneurs.
And how have you been received? What kind of reactions are you getting from people?
That's quite interesting, really. I think I still question myself, but people say I'm inspiring in what I'm doing. I'm working with an individual at the minute and I've seen him blossom and grow, and that's brilliant.
That must be quite a thing. Mm. As you said, that actually some of the stuff that you were doing right at the beginning of your career and back was there to inspire and motivate people. So if you're tapping into something which you love, and something which you're now really passionate about.
It's something that I didn't realise until I started my own business. That's what I'd done throughout my career. I'd been identifying people who'd been overlooked and helped develop them. And I know there's a string of people behind me that I've left behind that are now doing more than they would have ever done if they hadn't met me.
And so for anybody listening that might think, oh, I've thought that. I've thought, could I be dyslexic? But, oh, no, I can't be because, look, I'm this and I'm that.
Yeah.
What would your piece of advice to them be?
Well, there's some online tests you can do initially, which are free. I can't remember what they are now, but I did them. They ask you about 30 to 50 questions, you know, left all different things, and it'll give you a rough guide if you're dyslexic. And then you can go and get tested, British Dyslexia Association.
So if you go and just sort of search, I suppose.
Getting tested is quite expensive, but I would do some initial checks online first, which are free, and just have a look at it, really.
And would you, having been on both sides, would you be fearful of doing that? Were you fearful of doing that?
No, what I was fearful of, and I chose to say to everyone, I'm dyslexic. That's why I wear the stuff that I'm wearing now. There's a stigma. There's still a stigma out there, so people might find out, and will have a stigma of telling people that dyslexic.
Yeah,
because of the reaction. I'd say go for it and say it, and oh, so what?
Yeah. Kirk, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for coming into the studios and for scraping all the ice off the car today. I appreciate it. Kirk Bickstone with us. He received that diagnosis of dyslexia at the age of 44, now using on BBC Coventry and Warwickshire. Headlines that you're waking up to this morning. A man from Nuneaton says his life has been transformed since being diagnosed with dyslexia at the age of 44. The British Dyslexia Association says 10% of people are dyslexic.